We're holding Hey Amud Aleph, the top. And we're in the middle of discussing the question of how we know that Eser Deucha Lois Eser, at least in certain cases, when the Torah tells you to do something and you have something else, you have ordinarily there would be a Lois Eser not to do this. Nevertheless, the Eser overrides the Lois Eser and you're allowed to do it. An example that we were talking about yesterday, so the original example was, we said, you have a pasuk that teaches us, you have a Gzeira Shava that teaches us that if the Yavama is otherwise a relative of yours such that she would be an erva, then we say we would have thought that nevertheless the mitzvah of Yibum, the Eser of Yibum, overrides the Lois Eser to not have relations with an erva, and therefore we need a Gzeira Shava to tell us otherwise. So we're in the middle of discussing, well, why would we need that? Where do we get in the first place that Eser Deucha Lois Eser to even then say, well, but in this case it's not, and we need a Gzeira Shava to tell us that? So we went into a long discussion about that. So we said that a source for that can be the fact that you're allowed to wear tzitzis that involves kilayim. Usually it would be usur to wear kilayim, but for example, when you have a linen garment which requires tzitzis, that you have to have tchelas in it, where tchelas is a woolen string, then you have an example of kilayim, so then you have an example of eser deucha lois eser. So we were discussing that at some length. In particular, what we said was that Rabbi Yehuda generally doesn't, that we've said, we learn that from smuchim. We learn that from the fact that you have two psukim back to back in Parshas Kisetze that say that one that says you're not allowed to wear shatnez and one that says you have a mitzvah to wear tzitzis. So we learn from that smichos the fact that tzitzis overrides the issue of kilai. Now we said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ordinarily, he doesn't douche in smuchim, but in Sefer Devarim, he does. So therefore, he would agree with this. So we said, in particular, now why does he distinguish between Chumash Devarim and the other Chumashim? So we said, because one reason could be because mufna, because words in the pasuk are extra, because we could have understood the din without certain words in the pasuk, and therefore when they're there, then they're there for this drasha of smuchim. So we said that those extra words are the words semer pishtim. The pasuk says loy silva shatnez semer pishtim yachdav, don't wear shatnez, which is wool and linen together. We said that Tanit Veda Bishmol says that we know in the Torah, whenever it says the word beged, it means only wool or linen. And since you have a different pasuk that says, the issur of shatnez, and it says it uses there the word beged, automatically, therefore, we know that shatnez consists of wool and linen. Therefore, the pasuk in Parashat Kisetze did not have to say again semer or pishtim. Rather, those words are available, therefore, for the drasha that of smuchim, that we say because the next pasuk then says gedilim tasalacha, then we learn from that that you're able to wear kilayim and tzitzis. So we've taken care of that now according to Tanad Veda Bishmal. So the Gemara says tenach l'Tanad Veda Bishmal. Okay, so that explains according to Tanad Veda Bishmal. So they would say that the word beged means semer or pishtim automatically, means either wool or linen. That's why we said yesterday, according to Tanit Veda Bishmal, for example, only wool or linen garments are chayiv in tzitzis daraisa. According to them, all other fabrics, silk or cotton or whatever, would be potter daraisa. At most, they'd be chayiv derabon. Now, so according to Tanit Veda Bishmal, therefore, since we have one pasuk that says that you're not allowed to wear a garment of shatnez, and a garment automatically means wool or linen, and therefore shatnez means mixed together, so it means the both of them, then when we have the pasuk in Chumash Devarim that says loy silva shatnez semer or pishtim yachdav, so they're going to say the word semer and pishtim are extra, and therefore it's available for the drasha of smoking. But l'rabbanon menolahu, what about according to the rabbanon who disagree with him, where would they learn it from, given that according to them the word beged is not limited to only semer or pishtim? So according to them, if you only had the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, you would say that any two fabrics mixed together are shatnez. So according to them, if you mix, let's say, cotton and silk, you would also have shatnez, and therefore we need the pasuk in Chumash Devarim to tell us otherwise, that it's limited only to wool and linen. So according to them, the words semer or pishtim are not extra. So according to them, how do we learn the concept of eser deucha lois eser? Now, of course, Tosfos says, I mean, so what? We could very well say they don't have to agree with Rabbi Yehuda. We said yesterday that only according to Rabbi Yehuda do we say in order to dash in smuchim, do we need that it says muchach, that it's obvious that it's there for the drasha, or that it's mufna, that there are extra words in the pasuk. We said the other chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and dash in smuchim, even in other chumashim of the Torah, they don't hold of that. So why do we need to even worry about? So Tosfos says, okay, we want to say even if the chachamim who argue with Rabbi Shmuel about the definition of beged, even suppose that they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then how are we going to explain things? How are they going to learn, given that everybody agrees that Esed Be'chalos Esed, so we want to cover all our bases. The Ritva actually has a different explanation of it. He says, even according to the chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, fine, they don't require it to be mufna, but here we're not just dashing one thing. Here we want to use the fact that you can have kelayim betzitzis, that you want to use it as a binyan ab l'chola Torah kula, to say that everywhere in the Torah, esa doichalois esa, which is after all what we're after over here, because we wanted to show that esa doichalois esa, when it comes to an erver for yibum with, and therefore it would have, rather, would have been doichalois esa, and therefore we need a gzeira shavah to tell us otherwise. So therefore, so they would say, fine, you want a darshan, let's say, that you can wear kilayim and tzitzis, fine, we don't care what kind of smuchim it is, any kind of smuchim we'll accept. But you want to use that, says the Ritva, you want to use that as a binyan ab for the whole Torah, then you need it to be a little more than the regular kind of smuchim. Then you need words that are extra in the pasuk. So according to them, they can't learn it from the case of kilayim and tzitzis, because according to them, there's no extra words in the pasuk. So where are they learning from? So the answer is nafkalo me roshay. Instead, they're going to learn it from the word roshay, that a mitzvah has to shave his head. So to Tanya, we learn in a braisa, roshay. Now we know part of the process of a mitzvah becoming tahor is he has to shave his entire body. So the pasuk says that he has to shave, among other things, roshay, his head. So matam adlaima, why do we need to mention his head? The pasuk says that he has to shave, it says his head, his beard, and his eyebrows, and then it continues vest kol sarai yugaleach, and he has to shave all of his hair. So we know, obviously the hair of his head is included in all of his hair. So what do we add, so what is that adding? So it means, b'fisha nemar, given that you have a pasuk in the Torah elsewhere, lo sakifu pas roshchem, the pasuk says you're not allowed to shave, you're not allowed to round the corners of your head, meaning you're not allowed to cut off your pay, you're not allowed to shave off your payas. The payas, by the way, are called the corners, because when you look at the way the hairline goes, you have, if you draw a line, you have the hairline toward the back of your head, then it dips down, it goes around your ear, then it dips down to form your payas, and then after that it goes back up and then goes around your forehead. So if you didn't have payas over there, it would be going more or less in a straight line from the back to the front. That's called loisakifu. That's called making a circle. So the positive says you're not allowed to make a circle. You're not allowed to round the corners of your hair, of your head. So shemeyan yachmitzur. So you're not allowed to shave off your face, in other words. Shemeyan yachmitzur kain. So you would think then, therefore, that means even that a mitzurah is not allowed to. Therefore, tamad loy maroshay. Therefore, the positive says that he shaves his head. So there's an example of eser, v'chalois eser, because you have a lois eser not to shave off your face. And here he has an eser to shave his face. Now, let's consider, though, there's a slight difference. A person shaves off his payas, he's leaving the rest of his hair intact. Here, the mitzvah is shaving off all of his hair. Is that included? The answer is yes, because Savar, Hai Tana, the Tana that we're going according to holds, that we're dealing with over here, holds Hakofas, Kolorosh, Shmo Hakof, that yes, shaving off the entire head would be included in this Isser. In other words, you think about it. What is the Isser? Is the Isser to remove your payas whether you're leaving the rest of the hair of the head or not? Or is the Isser to not make a circle, to not make a straight line from the back of your head to the front, but rather have the payas in between? Well, if you're shaving off all your hair, there's no circle over there. So therefore, maybe that wouldn't be included in the Isser. The Tana that we're talking according to holds Hakofas Kolorosh Shma Hakofa, that yes, shaving the entire head would be included in this Isser, and if a person shaves his entire head, including his payas, then he's also over on the Isser of Lo Sakif. So therefore, so the point is, so Mitzvah is over on that, but on the other hand, he's doing the Mitzvah Saseh of shaving his head. So therefore, so Esther, Doicha Lo Saseh. If we said Hakofas Kolorosh Lo Shma Hakofa, it wouldn't be an example of Esther, Doicha Lo Saseh, because you'd say he's not being over on the Lo Saseh, because shaving his entire head is not violating the Lo Saseh at all. But if we hold that HaKofa is Kolorosh, Shmo HaKofa, then we say that then there is an example of Esther Becholoy Seser, and therefore so we can use that as a Binyan Av for the rest of the Torah. However, the Gemara says
the circle of your head is means two different things.
So in other words, like this, uh-huh. Think of it. The Torah is telling you not to shave off your pants. Well, the Torah is telling you don't round off the corners of your head. Don't round off your hairline. That's the thing. There's two ways of understanding it. Does it mean that the issue is don't shave off your payas? It doesn't matter whether you're leaving the rest of the hairline. Either way, the fact that you shaved off the payas with or without the rest of the hair is the issue. Or is it only the issue is incurred only when you shave off exclusively the payas and leave the rest of the hair? So that's the machlokes, whether HaKofa is Kolorosh, Shmo HaKofa. If we say, so we're saying now, according to the opinion, that it is, that in other words, the issue is to shave off your payas, irregardless of what you're doing with the rest of the hair, well then, in that case, the Metzora is over on that lav when he shaves his entire head. But he's, on the other hand, he's Mekayim and Esther, because the Torah tells him to shave his head as part of his Tara process, therefore there's Esther Dechalosis.
Right, I understand Esther Dechalosis, but what I understand is, I don't understand is, Kol Harosh means Kol Harosh, the whole.
No.
Head.
The pasuk doesn't say Kol Harosh. The pasuk says Lo Sakifu Paas Roshem. Don't round off the corners of your head. So does that mean the issur is on removing the payas? Doesn't matter what you're doing with the rest of the hair, or does it mean that the issur is to remove the payas when you're leaving the rest of the hair intact? When you're leaving the rest of the circle of the hair intact? Those are the two different ways of understanding.
Well, since it doesn't say Kol Harosh, then you can infer that you have to leave the payas, doesn't it?
Not necessarily. Of course you need to leave the payas. The question is, when it says Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem, is it that the issur is not to remove the payas, or is it that the issur is not to leave the circle of hair?
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, so there, if you look at it the second way, then if there's no circle of hair left, then you haven't been over on the issur. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Gemara says Ikal Mifrach. On the other hand, though, you could slug this up because you can't say that you can use a binyan av in this. Ma lav da hakofa shekein lav shein shofa bakol. After all, this lav does not apply equally to everybody. Women are not chayiv in this. Women are allowed to shave off their payas. On the other hand, what we're dealing over here with is arayas. Arayas applies equally to men and women. Just like a man is not allowed to have relations with a woman who is an erva to him, the woman also has the equal issur not to have relations with a man that would be an erva to her. So you can't learn from that. You can't learn from that a binyan av to anything else. Ella asim is koner. You're right. So therefore, we can't learn from the word roshoy. We have to instead learn from the word zikoner. Namely, again, by the Metzora, the pasuk says he has to shave his head as well as his beard. Titania is Konai Matamadlema. Now, why does the pasuk continue by mentioning his beard? Again, if he's shaving all his head, of course it includes his beard. So, Lafisha Nemo Fast Zikonim Loyagalehu. Now, you have, in general, by every year, you have a mitzvah that says Lois Sashvitz Es Pas Zikonecha, that you're not allowed to destroy the corners of your beard. But by Kohenim, so there it's a lot. But by Kohenim, you have an addition. You have an additional lab where it says, "Fishanema uf as the Kohenim lo yigalef." By Kohenim specifically, it says they should not shave off the corners of their beards. The reason why the Gemara is bringing that pasuk rather than the word lo yisashes is because the word lo yigalefu makes it clear that it means that you're not allowed to shave it with a razor, as opposed to the Metzora is shaving it with a razor. The Gemara elsewhere discusses that you need both psukim because if you only had the pasuk of Lois Sashkes, you wouldn't know that the issur is only on a razor. You would think, for example, that the issur is also on using, for example, a cream to remove the hair. But the actual lav is incurred only by using a razor and only when the razor is close to the skin. Since the pasuk says by Kohenim afas zikonim lo yigalehu, they're not allowed to shave the corners of their beard. Shemeya ani af Kohen mitzora kein. So that would lead you to say that the same thing should apply to a Kohen who is a mitzora. And no, Talmud by Mezukonei, therefore the pasuk mentions his beard. Now, we ain't in the lav she'ain shavabakol. Now, you don't really need it to teach us that this applies to a lav that is not applicable to everybody. Because that already we learned from the word roshay. We just said, from the word roshay, we learn that an issur that applies only to a certain category of people is overridden by an Esser. So now we don't need Tzkonah, which would be the same thing. Therefore, Tzneihu Inyan, the Lav Hashava Bakol. Therefore, you can apply it instead to the related case of a Lav that applies to everybody. So even though it's true that the Lav of shaving the beard does not apply to everybody, you have an extra Lav by Koyanim. You have one Lav by Yisraelim and two by Koyanim. But of course, that Lav doesn't apply to women either. If a woman happens to grow hair on her chin, she is allowed to shave it off. So it's still a lav she'ein hashava bakol. But we already know from the word roisho that such a lav is overridden by an eser. Therefore, from the word zikarnai, we can learn that even a lav, we can apply it to a related case, that even a lav that doesn't apply to everybody, is still overridden by an eser. Tosfos points out, by the way, that the Gemara elsewhere mentions that we need the three things that it mentions in the pasuk, where they're Rosh, Iskana, and Gabbos Einav. It teaches us what hair on his body does the Mitzvah have to shave. For example, does the Mitzvah have to shave the hair inside his nose, if he happens to have nose hair? And the answer is no, because it has to be places where there's a collection of hair in one place, not just individual strands like you have on some other parts of your body, and also that has to be visible when it's inside the nose, it's not visible. So therefore, so you need Rosh and Skone for that. Tosfos points out, well, that's why you have the third one in the pasuk, Gabbos Einav, his eyebrows. His eyebrows are Pinus Seir Venera. So it could have just said that he has to shave Gabbos Einav, Veskol Skone, and Veskol Sarai, and we would have a Klal of Prophet Klal, and we would say that now it means everything. So the fact that it's mentioning Rosh and Skone as well, we can use for other drushes. So again, therefore, Rosh is teaching us that this applies to a loisester, which applies to only some people, namely men and not women. And Zkonoi then teaches us, since we don't need to repeat the same drosha again, that it means it applies even to a lav that does apply to everybody. However, the Gemara still doesn't like that. The Akati,
there would be a klal u'prato klal, in other words, that applies to everybody, right?
Only, in other words, the pasuk goes like this. V'hoya v'yem ha'shvi yigalach kol sarai. On the seventh day, the Mitzvah shaves his entire, all his hair. As roshev es skonev es gabes, you know, his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. V'es kol sarai yigaleach. He shaves all the head, and he shaves all of his hair. So that's a classic klal u'prato klal. So from that, we learn that the hair that he has to shave has to be similar to his hair and to his head and his beard and his eyebrows, namely kinos seir venira. It has to be that there's a lot of hair in one place, not just in some parts of the body. You have places where just individual strands grow. He doesn't have to shave those, and nira, it has to be visible. So not, for example, let's say the hair inside his nose. But the point is that Tosfos is saying we didn't need all three of those, Roshe and Skonei and Gabbos Einav, for that trap. Within the Klal of Prophet Klal, Gabbai Seinav, his eyebrows would have been enough for that. Therefore, Roshe and Skonei are available for the drushes that we're talking about in our Gemara over here. However, the Gemara says, Va'akati, still you can argue itzrich. You can still say that you need the word Skonei not to teach us a binyan av of Esa Dechaloisese, but rather to say that, to tell us that the Koyan, that even if, that, he, that if a Koyan is a Mitzvah, he's allowed to shave his beard. Otherwise, you would have thought shiny koyanim. Maybe koyanim are different. Maybe koyanim are different. Hoyover river behenakos of mitzvahs yiseiros, because the Torah adds extra mitzvahs for them. So therefore, people live shein shavu b'kol lojofi, and therefore you would say that still maybe it is talking about a lab that's not applicable equal to everybody. But so you would say that even a lab, you would say that even a lab that's not equally applicable to everybody, it's not doicha, kamash malon de dochi. And therefore you would need the word skone to tell us that even when it comes to koyanim, even though they have extra mitzvahs, nevertheless, the mitzvah for the mitzvah to shave overrides the special isur on a koyan that he has more than a regular Yisrael to not shave his beard. But still, how do you know from that to say that it means a mitzvah that applies equally to everybody, which neither Roshoi nor Zkonoi does, because Roshoi applies only to men, and Zkonoi was saying you have an additional thing that it says by Koyanim, and also doesn't apply to women. So what makes you say, therefore, that we can say rather than it means that you should know not only a Yisrael who's a Mitzvah is allowed to shave his beard, but even a Koyan, even though he has extra mitzvahs, the Torah is telling you in this case we're going to override that second lab on him and he's allowed to shave his beard as a Mitzvah as well. Where do we see from that other cases, other mitzvahs that apply to equally men and women, like we said about Arias, for example, that an Esther should override those? Where do we get that from? Ela Asya Miroisha de Hachtana. Rather, the answer is we can learn it from the drosha on the word roshoi that we find that a different Tana says. The Tanya. Or rather, not roshoi.
Did we find roshoi. What?
We're going to learn rather from a different drosha on the word roshoi. Namely, you have again the Masurda has to shave his hair, but now let's consider. Besides the Isser, we know that there's an Isser on, we said that there's an Isser on a man to shave his payas, but we have an additional case where a person has an Isser to shave his hair, namely a Nazir. A Nazir is not allowed to shave, right? So Titania, and we learn in a Braisa, Roshay Matam Abloimar, why by the Masurda does it have to say that he shaves his head? Again, given that we have a Klal of Prophet Klal that says that every place where there's a visible collection of hair on his body, then he has to shave it, automatically his hair is included. So it means that because Lafisha Namatar La Yava Roshay, by a Nazir, it says he's not allowed to pass a razor over his head. He's not allowed to shave his head at all. Shemeya aniach mitzoda v'nazir kain. So now you would think the same thing applies if a person is a mitzoda and a nazir. So he was in the middle of his nazirus. Now he got tzaras. So now, at some point, when he becomes tohar of the tzaras, he has to shave. That's the mitzvah for a mitzoda. How do we know that that overrides his nazirus? And therefore, the pasuk says roshoy, and that teaches us that even in the case of a nazir who was also a mitzvah, that he still shaves. So there's two ways of understanding it. Rashi says that the isser by a nazir is also a lav she'ena shava bakol because it only applies to a nazir. So therefore, again, it's one of these things of given that we don't need it to teach us about an issue that applies only to certain people, because we already learned it before, that men are not allowed to shave their payas, and yet a mitzvah is allowed to. So now, if we're saying similarly that a nazir is not allowed to shave, but here he's supposed to, then we can say we can apply it more broadly, not just to a nazir, but to everybody. We can say that esa doicha lo esa, in general. Another way of understanding it is that actually, another way that some Rishonim understand is that in fact the lav of a nazir can be considered a lav shava bakol, because after all both men and women can be nazirim. It's true not everybody becomes a nazir, but in principle anybody could become a nazir. As opposed to a woman is never going to be chayev in the mitzvah of not shaving her payas, and a woman is never going to be chayev in the mitzvah of not shaving her beard if she has one. So Rashi says that it's a lav she'ena shava bakol, and we're using it as an ani in lazet, tneu in lazet. There's a different way of looking at it, that it is a lav she'shava bakol, because it does apply, it could apply equally to everybody. Any person, any yid could, in principle, become a nazir. And we see that the Torah is telling us that a nazir mitzvah shaves, so therefore you see esed dechalot seset. However, the Gemara says ikalam mifrach, you still could slog that up, you could say that's not a valid proof. After all, the issur of a nazir, it's possible to take away that issur by being matur neder. A nazirus is like any other neder. You can be matur neder. So you could say that's a weak kind of lav, and therefore you can say that kind of lav that can easily be removed by a Torah Sederim, then that kind we would say then that an essay is goyfed. How do you know that a lav that can't be removed by that is also pushed off by an essay? You don't have a proof from that. In fact, the Eloi Temahofi, after all, you have to say that the issue of a nazir is weaker, because otherwise, if you don't say like that, we have a general rule that we know that throughout Shas, that an essa is not doicha aloisese and an essa. So we say that essa doicha aloisese. But, so for example, you wear tzitzis even though they have kalayim. But if you have an essa and a loisese, then an essa cannot override that. One example being, let's say, for example, certain kinds of malachas on Yom Tov. You could have an essa involved, but you have on Yom Tov, you have a loisese not to do malacha, and you have an essa to rest the malacha, so therefore an essa can't override that. So now, but we see, but on the other hand, by a nazir, it's not so. A nazir has a mitzvah asay to keep his nazirus, and he has a mitzvah loisese not to violate it by shaving his hair, and yet we see over here that a nazir mitzvah does shave his hair. So Adarav, a ligma min nazir. Shouldn't we learn from a nazir that such a thing is possible, that an esse is doicha, a lois esse, and an esse? Ela min nazir, my time ala gambinan. So the answer is obviously, why do we not learn from nazir? Because it's a weak kind of lab. The ikal mifrach shaken yeshna b'sheila. Because after all, the nazir's isser can be taken away by being matu neder. So you could say the same thing. If you're trying to use, so not only because of that, we can't learn from a nazir that Esther Deicha Loisaseh Ve'eseh, we can't even learn that Esther Deicha Loisaseh from a nazir. Because the fact is, the Isser of a nazir is a very weak lav, given that it can be taken away by She'elah. By the way, the Rambam has a different understanding of it. The Rambam writes, the reason why a Nazir is allowed to shave his hair when he's a Mitzvah is because while he's a Mitzvah, his Nazirus is suspended anyway. So the Ravid says on that, what are you talking about? Or Gemara doesn't say that. Or Gemara says because he could be Matir Neder. Nothing to do with the fact that his Nazirus is suspended. So one of the interesting answers is that Advaz says, you know, there can be cases, for example, there's such a thing, there's something called a Nazir Shimshon. When we get to later on and say to Noshim, Best Hashem, when we get to Masech Nazir, we'll talk about the person can make a Nazir that will be a Nazir like Shimshon. And one of the rules of Nazirus Shimshon is you can't be Matir Nazir, unlike regular Nazirus. There's even, in fact, in some versions of about Tardus Nadarim that you say on Erev Rosh Hashanah, in some Sidurim and some Machzurim, you find over there there's a line that I want to be Matur any Nedir Ba'afilu Nazirus Shimshon, and they say that's wrong, and therefore the Alter Rebbe doesn't have that in his Nusach. You can't be Matur Nazirus Shimshon. Anyway, so the Advaz says we still need the Rambam's reason for that. Nazirus Shimshon, you can't be Matur Nedir, yet a Nazir Shimshon who becomes a Mitzurah is going to shave his hair. There are Achronim who argue on that and say maybe Taki he wouldn't, but the Radvaz obviously is taking the view that he would. So therefore, the reason that Or Gemara is saying Yesh Vishtela is not enough, and therefore the Rambam needed another reason that his Nazirus is suspended while he's Mitzvah. Anyway, the point is, so we can't learn from the fact that a Nazir is allowed to shave his head violating his Nazirus, that we should learn from that Esa Dechaloy Seseh, because that's a special case, because Yesh Nebesheela, and therefore it's a weak kind of law, or like the Rambam says, because his Nazirus is anyway suspended right now. So we're still looking for a source. Again, if we go like Tanit Veda Bishmol, then we have a source for Esa Dechaloy Seseh from Kelayim and Tzitzis. But as we said at the top of the Amud, if we're going not like Tanit Veda Bishmol, then where do we have a source for it? So, Ela La'olam Mikroch Hafa. After all, we're going to answer that we are going to learn it, even according to the Chachamim, from the original pasuk, namely about Kelayim and Tzitzis. The fact that it says Loy Silva Shatnes Semer Pishtim Yachtav, and right after that it says Gdilim Tasalachav. You're going to say, according to the Chachamim, they say the words Semer Pishtim are not extra. So therefore, if we were to say that they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, as Tosfos says, or as the Ritva says, if they want to use it as a binyan av for the whole Torah, then how can they do that? The answer is, there still is something extra in the pasuk, because in Kain Lemakrot Tzitzis Tasamachal. Because after all, the Torah could have used the expression, you should make for yourself Tzitzis, which would be the same expression as it uses in Parashas Shlach, when it gives the mitzvah of Tzitzis, but also Lahem Tzitzis. So here also, it could have said Tzitzis Tasamachal. Gdilim Lamali, why did it change the word and use instead the word Gdilim? Therefore, Shmamin Alasnoye. Therefore, that tells us that it's extra, and therefore, even according to them, so you find, you don't know the word Semer Pishtim are an extra, but the word Gdilim is extra. Therefore, we still have it available to Darsh and Smokim. And as the Ritva says, that's a strong enough kind of Smokim. When we have a Mufne in there, when we have a word that's extra, where we can even use it for as a binyan ab for the whole Torah. However, the Gemara still doesn't like that. The fact is, the word Gdilim is coming to tell us the number of strings that you need. How do you know? I mean, after all, the pasuk says, but also Amtsitis, doesn't say how many strings there are involved. So you need to know the word Gdilim tells us how many strings. Namely, Gdil means Shnayim. The word Gdil by itself means two threads. Gdil means two threads twined together. So you can't have a Gdil, you can't twine together only one thread. So the word Gdil by itself means two. Gdilim arba, when it says Gdilim in the plural, means two Gdilim, so therefore it means four. And it means Asei Gdil upeislehu mitoichai. What the Torah is telling you is make a Gdil, take four threads. And since the pasuk does say psil, because after all you have in the parasha of Tzitzis, it says also and you have to have it psil techelus. So therefore, it means that there should also be poislehu mitoichoi. You have to have psilim sticking out of it. Namely, the word gdil means wound together. But if you only had the word gdilim, it would mean all the entire string of Tzitzis from beginning to end has to be wound. but we know it's not like that. Yeah, the beginning of the tzitzis is wound and tied together, and the rest of it hangs free. So that we learn from the word psilim, out of that should be sticking out individual threads, which comes out how we have it, that we have one part of it is gedil, is the part that's wound and tied, and the other part hangs free. So we need the word gedilim to teach us that we need eight strings. Tosfos learns a little differently. The word gedilim, the word asteg gedilah pesleyum mitochay teaches us you don't just have four strings hanging down. You put the four strings in and you put them through the beged and doubled over so that you wind up with eight strings hanging down. Anyway, the point is, so we need the word gedilim for that. So therefore, so the word gedilim is not extra. The answer is in kain leimakro leisilva shatnez. The answer is fine. You could say, if the Torah was just, fine, forget about the word gedilim. Fine, we're going to answer rather that the pasuk could have said the word, you should not wear shatnez, wool and linen. Fine, according to the Chachamim, you need the words wool and linen because otherwise they don't know that shatnez is defined as wool and linen. You could argue according to them it means any two fabrics together. But yachdav lomali, why do we need the word yachdav together? That means that it's there as mufna, and therefore, so we have an extra word in the pasuk that shows us that we should that shows us that we should do smukri. However, the Gemara still says va'akati mi boilei. Still, we need the word yachdav to teach us l'toikif shteich kifas chibur or kifachas ene chibur. Suppose that you have a piece of wool fabric and a piece of linen fabric, and you take a needle and you put them through them, and you put them together with one stitch. So you put the needle through one side and pull it out the other. That's not considered. They're not considered joined yet, and you would be allowed to wear those two items together. Only if it's shteitz kippus, only if you do two insertions of the needle. So you put the needle in from one side through the, let's say you have the wool on top and the linen on bottom. You put the thread through, you put the needle with the thread through from the wool side, going through the wool and linen, and then going out back through the linen and the wool. Then they're considered joined together, and then that would be an issur of shatnez. So you need the word yachdav to teach us that. In fact, Tosfos says that, look, without the word yachdav, you would think, even it means, let's say you wouldn't be allowed to wear a linen shirt and a woolen jacket over it. You need the word yachdav to teach us that they have to be connected, b'chlav. And part of that is that they have to be connected by at least two stitches. One stitch, but only one full stitch, not a half stitch. Kifarachas is only like a half a stitch. Anyway, so you need the word yachdav for that. The answer is, okay, fine. But in Kain, Lichtav Rachmana, Loisilvash Tzemer Opishtim Yachdav. Fine, and the word Shatnez is extra. It could have said, don't wear wool and linen together. The word Yachdav would teach us they have to be connected by at least two stitches. Shatnez Lomali. Why would it have to say the word Shatnez? Shemamina Lachmana, yes, the word Shatnez is extra for the smichur, for the smoking. But the Gemara says, "Va'akati mi boilei." Still, you need the word shatnez to teach us the definition of what needs to be done to the two things to be considered shatnez. Ad shua tovi benuz. It has to. The word shatnez is made up of the words shua tovi benuz. So shua, Rashi explains, comes from an Aramaic word that means smooth. So it means that, in other words, that you smooth them, you combed out the wool and the linen together. And smooth them out together, that's shua. Then tovri would be that you spun them together into a thread, and nuz, Rashi explains, would be that they're woven together. So midaraisa, midarabanan, you have there's more cases than that. But midaraisa, for it to be shatnez, you would have to have, but all those three processes were done to them together. Tosfos discusses that a little bit over here and discusses that it means a little differently. It means that you can have each one of them is done by themselves. But in other words, only the wool was done shua, tovi, and nuz by itself, and only the linen by itself. And the Torah is saying that once you have that, each of them, the three processes were done to that, then you can't make one garment of them together. For example, at least on a deraisa level, according to Tosfos, if let's say you made felt out of wool and linen together, then it wouldn't necessarily be also deraisa. But the Rambam has a different understanding of it. He learns that it means that either Shua or Tavi or Nuz, that any one of them is enough to make Kalayim Daraisa. Anyway, the point is, we learn all that from the word Shatnez. So therefore, the word Shatnez is not extra. And the answer is, Ela Kula Mishatnez Nafka. Okay, but the answer is, still, we could have learned that, we could have learned that from Shatnez. It still could have said, since you have said, you're right. The word Shatnez is teaching us Shua Tovi and Nuz, but after all, it didn't need to say that word in the Pasuk at all. Tosfos, in other words, explains the Pasuk. If the Torah wanted to teach us about Shua Tovi and Nuz, it could have said explicitly, Lo Silbash Shua Tovi and Nuz, Semer Pishtim Yachtov. Instead, it says them all in the word Shatnez. So therefore, we can say that that word is extra. If it was just to teach us the dinim, then it could have said the three words. And for that matter, you have the word shatnez that already says earlier in Parshas Kedoshim. So therefore, you can say that's fine. From the word shatnez, we learn that, but it didn't have to say the word shatnez. It could have instead said shua tovi and nuz. So therefore, now we have a word extra over there that we can use for smichus. Okay, so far so good. So now we're saying in the end, according to everybody, we're learning from Kilayim and Tzitzis that Esa Deicha Loisesa, and that applies to a Loisesa that applies to everybody because men and women are equally usur to wear Kilayim. So far, so good. Which in that case, then you have the question of then you have the question of why we needed by Rosha and Skono that we talked about on Amud Aleph. Okay, so there you have, because we still need to be told that it applies, for example, even to Kohen and more of extra mitzvahs, and Tosfos discusses also you can have distinctions between, for example, when you have a lav that couldn't have been, you couldn't do the essay any other way, for example, but Soda necessarily has to shave his hair. There's no choice but to shave his payas and whatever. As opposed to, for example, when we're talking about Kalayim and Sitzis, you don't necessarily have to wear this particular garment. Nobody's saying you have to wear this garment. If you're wearing it, then you need Sitzis on it. So therefore, we still need those. But anyway, so now the question is, Ashbichon de Osi Esser Zach Loisese Greda. Fine, so that covers a regular kind of loisese, such as kilayim, where the maximum penalty for it is malchus. Loisese sheyesh bekores hecha ashkichon dedofi, but where do we ever find that an esse should be docha loisese that involves kores, as arayas do, all the arayas are chayiv kores, so where do we get the idea to begin with that we should think that an esse overrides such a loisese, the itzrich aleha lemesra, where then, as we said at the beginning of the sugya on Gimel on the days, we would need the gzeder shava from the word aleha to tell us otherwise. In other words, if arayas didn't involve kores, sure, we could learn it from Kalayim Betzitzis. But given that arayas involved kores, so that reason alone should tell us that the loisese is an absolute one, and the esse of Yibum doesn't override it. What makes us say that we would have thought that the esse of Yibum should override a loisese sheyesh bekoris of, for example, the guy marrying his wife's sister, where she's his Yavama, that we should need a Zera Shava to tell us otherwise. So you're going to say, well, we can learn from Mila. Another example of Esa Deichaloisese is there's an Esa to do a Mila. Shabbos, on the other hand, is a Loisese that involves Kores, and you're allowed to do, and you do a Mila Bizvana on Shabbos. But that's not a valid proof. Malam Mila Shaken Nichosela Shloishester Brisis. After all, Mila is an extremely important mitzvah saseh, because there are 13 times in the parasha of Mila, in parasha's Lech Lecha, when Hashem gives Abraham the mitzvah of Mila, 13 times over there it says the word bris. So you would say, such an esse, sure, can override a loisese sheyesh bekoris. Yibum is not that kind of esse. And be Pesach, so you're going to try to learn from the Korban Pesach, where the Korban Pesach is shechted on Shabbos, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos. So there again, you have an esse bringing the Korban Pesach that overrides the loisese of loisase from Alocha on Shabbos. That's not a valid proof either. Mala Pesach Shekhen Koris. The esse of Korban Pesach itself is an esse that involves Koris. If a person fails to bring a Korban Pesach, he's Chayav Koris. Now, it's true, by the way, that Mila also involves Koris. However, the difference is, by Mila, the Kores is not on the baby, after all. If the baby doesn't get the Bris Mila when he's 8 years old, he's not getting Kores. For that matter, I mean, if anything, his father maybe is going to be Chayiv Kores, and in fact, the Rambam holds differently. when do we say that a person is chayiv karis for mila? The Rambam says, if a person goes his entire life without having a bris mila, then he's going to get karis when he dies. But the fact that mila is not being done, so let's say we were to say that mila is not going to be done on Shabbos, even on the eighth day, fine, there's no karis involved. You would just do it after Shabbos. But Pesach, you only have the one day to bring the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach. And if not, the guy is Chayav Karis. So you would say that kind of Eser, Chayav Karis, overrides the Lois Eser that involves Karis. How do you know a regular Eser of Yivum overrides a Lois Eser of Karis, or would override a Lois Eser of Karis, namely Arayas, that again, that we should need a Zeta Shavu to tell us otherwise. So you're going to say instead, Mitomid, fine, let's try to learn from the Korban Tomid. Still doesn't work because the Korban Tomid is brought on Shabbos. The problem is, Mala Tomid Shekain Tobir. After all, the Korban Tomid is something constant. Every day you have a mitzvah to bring the Korban Pesach. The Korban Tomid. Every day you have a mitzvah to bring the Korban Tomid. So that wouldn't be a valid proof either. You would say, fine, an essay that the Torah is telling you to do every single day, that one overrides the Lav Shiesh Bekoris. Even was not every day. The Gemara says, fine, Mechoda like Asya. Fine, you can't learn it from any one of them individually, Kesim Itauti. Fine, let's say we can do it from a Tzada Shoba between two of them. We're going to say that if you're going to say, let's say, for example, we want to learn from Mila, and you're going to say, but Mila has 13 brises, then you're going to say, okay, but we'll learn from Pesach instead, which doesn't have 13 brises. You're going to say, but Pesach is Yesh Bei Koris. You're going to say, but Mila doesn't have Koris. And you make a Tzada Shoba. A Tzada Shoba should have an Eser that's Doicha Loisus Hashi Yesh Bei Koris. The problem is, may hey Tasi. Which pair, which two out of the three do you want to learn from? Tasi Mimilo Pesach. Mimilo Pesach. You can't, are you going to try to learn from Mila and Pesach combined? Can't. Shekain Kores. Both of them, after all, do involve Kores. It's true that that Mila, when you're not doing it right then on that Shabbos, there's no Kores involved. But eventually, Mila does involve Kores at some point. So that's not a valid proof. Mi Pesach v'Tomid, you can't learn from the combination of Pesach and Tomid, Shekein Tzorach Gavoya. You would say those are things that are brought on the Mizbeach. Mila is not, Yibum is not either. Mi Mila v'Tomid, are you going to try to learn from Mila and Tomid, which both of those take place on Shabbos? No, you can't learn from those. Shekein Yeshna v'Tnei Adibur. After all, both of those took place, even if both of those were commanded to the Jewish people even before Matan Torah. That is That is according to the opinion which we learned in the Sefer Chagiga about a month ago. We learned that there was an opinion that when it says that when it says that right before Matan Torah, Moshe offered oilus on behalf of the Jew. Actually, to be exact, it says he sent the Nare Bnei Yisrael. He sent the young men, the Bechorim, and they brought oilus. The Gemara discussed over there what were those oilus. There was an opinion that it was an oilus tamid, and then there was a different opinion that it was an oilus re'ia, because they were going to be seeing the Shechina. But according to the opinion that it was an oilus tamid, then the oilus tamid existed, was commanded even before Matan Torah. So you could say those kinds of mitzvahs are special. The kinds that were given before Matan Torah are special, and therefore you could say those override even a lav shiyesh bekoris. How do you know though Yibum was not? Now, to be sure, they did Yibum before Matan Torah. You have in Parshas Vayeshev when Yehuda tells Oinon, his second son, to do Yibum with his brother's wife. However, that wasn't Alpiyat Dibur. That was in the same way as we say that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah before it was given, and in general, if the Ovis kept the Torah before it was given, the same way Yehuda knew of the concept of Yibum before Matan Torah, and he told Oinon to go and do it. But it wasn't an actual mitzvah that was given by Hashem yet, as opposed to Mila was actually given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. Pesach was actually, Pesach was given by Hashem to Moshe before Matan Torah, and the Tamid, we're saying over here, according to the opinion that it was brought before Matan Torah, was also commanded by Hashem to Moshe before Matan Torah. So that wouldn't work either. Umikulunami, even if you're going to try all three of them combined, it still doesn't work. Shekein Yeshmin Lefnei Adibur, because again, all three of those existed before Matan Torah. So you could say, fine, any mitzvah haseh that existed, that was commanded before Matan Torah, is a special kind of esser, and therefore that overrides even a lav shiyesh bekoris. how do you know that Yibum, which was not actually commanded before Matan Torah, they did it voluntarily, but it wasn't actually commanded before Matan Torah, that should override a lav shiesh bekores such that we would have, were it not for the Gzeder Shava from Aldera? How do we know that? So we can't learn from these three. So the reason why we need the Gzeder Shava is because like this. Stop that. I mean, a taste in the Kibbutz Av Ve'Em. You would have thought otherwise that you're going to learn from Kibbutz Av Ve'Em where the essay of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em conceivably can override a lav shiyesh bekores. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Yochol Yehe Kibbutz Av Ve'Em Deicha Shabbos. You would think that Kibbutz Av Ve'Em overrides Shabbos. If, let's say, for example, the father tells the son to do such and such for him, which involves a malacha, you would think that you should do that. Tamad Leimam, no. Therefore, the pasuk has to tell us, Ish ime v'ovim shiro, v'es Shabbos, so he said Yishmeru, each person should fear his father and his mother, but you should keep my Shabbos. Meaning that kulchem chayovim v'kvodi, all of you, you and your parents are equally chayev and my covered, and the pasuk finishes off on Hashem. So therefore, in other words, so Kibbutz Av Ve'Em does not override Shabbos, implying the time of the kasher rachmana eschab sotis shmaru. So only because the Torah says you have to keep my Shabbos, holah hachidoch, implying that if not for that, if your parent told you to do a malacha for them on Shabbos, you would have to do it. So you see that Esther conceivably could be an Esther, which did not exist before Matan Torah. There was no mitzvah of Kibbutz Av before Matan Torah, at least not explicitly in the pasuk. It does, by the way, say, it's the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Shabbos and Kibbutz Av Ve'Em and a couple of other mitzvahs were given in Mara a few weeks before Matan Torah, but doesn't say it explicitly in the pasuk. So you would say, Kibbutz Av Ve'Em would have been Doicha Shabbos, were it not for these words that Shabbos had to Shmoro Ani Hashem. So therefore you see that an Esek can be Doicha, Lav Shiesh Bekoris. Tosfos points out, by the way, that the reason why we say that by honoring your parents, you're honoring Hashem. Maybe Ani Hashem means I am Hashem and you have to honor your parents regardless. And the answer is, Tosfos says, because you show more honor to Hashem by honoring Shabbos, by keeping Shabbos more than with other mitzvahs. Because Shabbos, after all, you're testifying that Hashem created the world. So therefore, that's considered more coveted of Hashem than coveted of your parents. And when you honor your parents, you're also honoring Hashem. But honoring Shabbos is more honoring Hashem even than that. Even more than Kibbutz Av Ve'Em. So you see again that you would have said that honoring parents is Doicha Shabbos, and there is an example of an Esa being Doicha Lav Shiesh Bekoris. However, the Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily. Lav de Mechamer, because you could say, maybe you're not talking about where your parent tells you to go and do an actual malacha. What about if he's telling you, for example, to go and lead an animal carrying a burden on Shabbos? Now, that's not one of the 39 malachas. It's one thing if he told you, for example, light a fire for me. I skipped a couple of lines over here. My lav, so wouldn't it mean, suppose, for example, the father tells the son on Shabbos, shecht for me, or cook for me, then we would say the Torah is telling you that, nevertheless, don't do that, because I commanded you, because Hashem says, I commanded you to keep Shabbos, and you and your father are both chayev to honor me. But time of the kasher rachmana eschab soisi d'shmoru, so only because the Torah tells us eschab soisi d'shmoru, do you not do that. Implying if it weren't for that, it would have been Doicha. And the answer is Loi. Not necessarily are we talking about where the father is telling the son to do a malacha, one of the 39 malachas, but rather Lav de Mechamer. Because let's say you could have where the father is telling the son, do a malacha for me, take my animal, which is carrying a burden, and lead it on Shabbos. Now, that's not one of the 39 malachas. However, it is also under the heading of Loi Sasa Kol Malacha, Ata, etc., Uvam Techa. So now there's no kares involved, because you're not doing the malacha yourself. It's a lav, but there's no kares. So therefore, V'asilo Hochi V'adochi. Nevertheless, the Torah is telling you that, that's a question, rather. V'asilo Hochi V'adochi. So you're telling me then that in fact it's not Doicha, that if your father tells you to do such a thing on Shabbos, which is only a lav, but not a malacha, no Issur Kares, you're telling me it wouldn't override Shabbos? Well then, then we should have the opposite question. We know that Esther Dechaloy says that. That's what we're busy proving throughout the whole Sylvia over here. Ligma mehacha, the light blidchi. Adarabba, let's learn from here. That's not Dechaloy. Let's do a binyan ab from here. Just like if your father tells you to be mechamer on Shabbos, and the Torah is telling you don't because es sabsoise b'shmoru, you should learn from that. And an es says never doicha aloy says it, even if there's no chorus. V'chiteima shiny lavi to Shabbos techamivi. You're going to answer that maybe the lav and the Shabbos are different because they're more stringent, and maybe therefore that time, therefore even a lav that doesn't involve chorus is not going to be overridden. No, Valtana ba al makoi, like a parit, but you find a Tana in a different place that you have a Tana that's talking about different kind of lavim and said and doesn't say that Shabbos is different. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll discuss what that example is, where we see that there are other lavim where we say the same kind of thing that we learn from Shabbos. We're gonna say that the same kind of thing, the same way as we're saying a person's father tells him, break Shabbos for me, and we're saying you don't, even if it's a lav that doesn't involve Kores, by the same token, if we're going to say tomorrow that, let's say, for example, the father tells him to, the father and the son are Kohenim, and the father tells the son to become Tomei, to do some work for him, the son shouldn't do it, even though that's not a lav of Shabbos. So you see, there's no difference in that regard between lavim or Shabbos and other kind of lav. So Adarabba, shouldn't we learn from that? That just like you're not supposed to break any isser to listen to your father, then therefore an essay is not Dercha Eloi Sese ever. What makes us say that an essay should be Dercha Eloi Sese if we see that by Kibbut Abba Eman doesn't? So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll work that out, how we can't prove that way from Kibbut Abba Eman. And instead we go back to what we said before, that essay is in fact Dercha Eloi Sese. Okay, everyone.
Yeah.